Now, Postmaster General Louis DeJoy announced today that the Postal Service would temporarily halt plans already underway that have been criticized for potentially undermining the November election. More voters than ever have relied on the Postal Service for absentee ballots because of the ongoing COVID-19 outbreak. But recent changes, like the removal of some mailboxes and high-speed sorting equipment, have some lawmakers on Capitol Hill crying foul. Coming up, we'll talk to a political scientist about how the political fight over the USPS could impact voters over the next 80 days. First, a member of Wisconsin's congressional delegation joins the show. Representative Mark Pocan is a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District, which includes Dane County. Representative Pocan, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
I want to start you off with the latest news. We heard from the Postmaster General saying, hey, we're going to put a hold on these changes. I'm going to quote at some length here. There are some longstanding operational initiatives, efforts that predate my arrival at the Postal Service that have been raised as areas of concern as the nation prepares to hold an election in the midst of a devastating pandemic. To avoid even the appearance of any impact on election mail, I am suspending these initiatives until after the election is concluded. End quote there. What are your thoughts on that announcement today?
Well, you know, talk is cheap. Actions are different. We know that they've done a number of measures. One thing that you didn't mention in the intro comments is overtime pay. And that wasn't something done before he got there. That's something he chose to quit doing overtime pay, which was then causing delays in mail, significant delays in mail, in addition to the removal of mailboxes and the dismantling of sorting equipment. So there's a lot that we still have to do to, one, make sure that it has really stopped. Two, how much damage has already been done? What do we need maybe to put back together again? And that's why Congress is going to be voting on Saturday on legislation to do just that, as well as get the Postal Service the $25 billion that their Board of Governors, appointed by Donald Trump, has requested from Congress.
Wisconsin has joined a lawsuit, now one of 20 states suing the Postal Service to tackle these recent changes. What are you hoping comes out of that that lawsuit from 20 states?
Well, I think the lawsuit is also trying to, you know, get us back to having a effectively run post office. The problem is sometimes legal actions can take a while. So that's why we're doing everything we can, whether it be legislative action, whether it be those individual lawsuits, to make sure that people are aware of what's going on. You know, it's not just about Donald Trump trying to create chaos around the election. This affects seniors and veterans who get their medicines via the U.S. mail. This affects small businesses that are already hurting because of COVID-19 in getting packages out and getting goods in via U.S. mail. This hurts people who are largely home these days in many cases, and that's their only way of really getting contact with the outside world. So yeah, there's a lot of other ramifications more than Donald Trump just trying to confuse people whether or not their ballot will count. We are trying to make sure people understand that you can request your ballot now. You can immediately fill it out when you get it. You don't have to wait till the Friday before the election, because guess what? The candidates aren't changing on the ballot. And then you can, if you want, drop it right in the mail with 6 weeks to spare, or you can drop it off at your city hall, village hall, town hall, and it will be counted. Donald Trump will not win in his chaos that he's trying to create.
Yeah, can you talk about what you view as President Trump's motivations in, first of all, claiming that absentee ballots, that mail-in voting is more subject to fraud, and his efforts to limit access to mail-in voting?
Well, I mean, it's ridiculous. He and his whole family has always requested absentee ballots. There is no difference between mail-in voting and absentee voting. It's the identical same thing. It's like saying somehow six oranges weigh a lot more than a half a dozen. It's illogical. It's kind of idiotic. But it's what Donald Trump is trying to put out there. It's his spin. The reality is many states just do mail-in voting, and it works really well. Oregon, for example, is one of the highest turnouts in the nation with virtually no fraud, and they're doing this very well, and other communities have done this well. So Donald Trump, again, is just trying to make it confusing so people maybe won't get a mail ballot. Maybe they won't show up Election Day, because who knows what will be happening by Election Day with COVID. And he wants to pick voters rather than voters picking the next president. And I think it's backfired for him because of all the other ramifications. And people should know, as long as they request their ballot and vote early, not often, but early, you will have your ballot counted.
The Postmaster General is scheduled to testify in front of a House committee. What are you hoping to hear from him?
Well, Just exactly what the timeline was of some of these changes. Like I said, the overtime clearly did not come out of any previous decisions. He's made those decisions, so he hasn't been completely forthright. I for one, have called for his removal. You know, he also has conflicts of interest, financial conflicts of interest with competing entities to the Postal Service, and he's the Postmaster General. That doesn't make any sense to me. So we really need to know more about that. We need to know more about what he did. We want to know about how he's going to fix the things that in the last several weeks he did in taking machines apart. There's a lot of questions we still have.
Representative Pocan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Of course. Thank you.
Mark Pocan represents Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District, which includes Madison. He joins today to talk about what's happening at the U.S. Postal Service. We continue the conversation about the political fight over the Postal Service now and how voters could be impacted. You can join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. Have you been affected by slowdowns in mail lately? Are you counting on voting by mail for the first time or the 20th time in this November election? Join in at 800-642-1234. Philip Chen joins us now, assistant professor of political science at Beloit College. Phil, welcome back to Central Time.
Always happy to be here, Rob.
What do you make of this kind of a political dispute over the U.S. Postal Service, given the importance of absentee ballots? This is not something I think anybody would have necessarily predicted coming into 2020.
Yeah, I mean, again, like you said, it's 2020 is a year that has thrown a lot of things at us to try to understand. I would say that the big thing to take away from it is the level of trust that people have in the process of voting, and that whether or not the Postal Service enacts these changes, it seems like the Postmaster General is going to put a halt on the sort of operational changes. Whether or not that happens, it's about how much trust people have that their ballot is going to be counted correctly and going to be delivered to them and delivered back to their precinct in the state in time.
Can you talk about how important mail-in voting is going to be from what we know so far in this November election?
Honestly, I think what we know is actually very little. We don't know exactly how much, how many people are going to request this. We know that overall in the country, in the primaries, after the pandemic hit, we saw increases in vote by mail and absentee ballot requests. You know, my gut instinct says it's going to be a major issue for how people decide to vote. But we still have people who very much think that they need to vote in person, that they trust that process more than the absentee process. Do I think we're going to see higher levels of absentee voting or vote by mail? Absolutely. I don't think there's any doubt about that. The question, of course, is how will it happen? Will there be trust in that process? And then how will the counting happen? How will that affect results, things like that?
Let's bring in a caller now at 800-642-1234. Jake is with us in Wausau. Jake, hi.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What do you want to bring up, Jake?
So I just want to bring up that I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there is possibly some differences between the absentee ballots versus the mail-in ballots in the form of verification. And also, you know, to say that there's no fraud that exists within mail-in, there's definitely cases that have existed. I think there was in Brooklyn or something like that where 80,000 ballots were rejected based on their verification process, so...
Jake, thanks for the call. So first of all, Jake's saying there is a significant difference between absentee and mail-in when it comes to verification, Phil?
There's actually no difference in the state. And in fact, I don't believe any state has a difference on that. In Wisconsin, for instance, you have to – there. Absentee ballot versus mail-in ballot, they're the same word, as Representative Pocan said, or they're different words for the same thing. There's one process, you request it, you have to submit a photo identification or a copy of your photo ID, just like you would when you go to vote in person, and then you get the ballot mailed to you. So there's no difference between mail-in ballots versus absentee ballots. It depends on the state as to what the requirements are. Wisconsin does not require any kind of reasoning for your absentee ballot. You can simply request one. Other states, for instance, might require you to verify that you are going to be absent from the precinct or from your home on that day. Most of those are just sort of testify that you're going to be absent. So it depends. There's a little bit of a state by state difference, but there are not sort of differences between absentee versus mail in ballots as far as Wisconsin's process goes. They're just one form, one process for that.
Thanks a lot for that call, Jake. I wanted to get to that, the invalidated ballots in Brooklyn. As I understand it, anyway, some people responded to that like Jake did and said, hey, a lot of people are trying to vote illegally by mail. Other people saying we've got a poorly designed system that's leading to a lot of verifiable ballots never getting counted. What is your read on that, Phil?
So my read on that is that we're probably, what you're seeing with those 80,000 is inaccurate signatures, not matching signatures, inaccurate verifications, witnesses, things like that. In many cases, I mean, there's a difference between an invalidated ballot and a fraudulent ballot. We have had numerous studies done to examine incidents of fraud. And there's basically very few instances of fraud, either in person or by mail. That doesn't mean there aren't spoiled ballots. Ballots come in without the correct signatures on them, that are not filled out correctly, that have arrived in a different manner. And that doesn't necessarily indicate fraud. In fact, it usually indicates a system that's too complex for the average person to sort it out. And so if you don't have a witness signature on your ballot may be rejected. That doesn't mean that you filled it out fraudulently. It means that you filled it out inaccurately, or you completed the process inaccurately. And so in many cases, what we're actually seeing is probably more ballots being rejected than people who are, I mean, we definitely know more ballots are rejected than people who are committing fraud, because instances of fraud are, you know, according to the Brennan Center, somewhere around 0.0003%. We're just talking minuscule amounts of verifiable fraud. But we have plenty of ballots that are spoiled, that are rejected for various reasons that have nothing to do with fraud.
We're talking to Phil Chen, assistant professor of political science at Beloit College, about the ongoing fight over the U.S. Postal Service and how it could impact the 2020 general election. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on what's happening at the Postal Service? What do you think about the Postmaster General's announcement today saying that the agency will stop the changes that had people concerned? If you work for the Postal Service, what changes have you noticed on the job? And if you commonly receive mail, is it slowing down lately? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about the U.S. Postal Service and the November elections. Postmaster General Louis DeJoy announced today that the sweeping changes underway at the Postal Service would be temporarily paused in order to avoid issues with the November election. Philip Chen stays with us, assistant professor of political science at Beloit College. You can join in with your questions, your thoughts on mail-in voting, what you're seeing at the national level with the U.S. Postal Service, what you're seeing maybe with your own mail delivery, and are you planning to vote by mail in November? Call 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls. Sheila is with us in Oshkosh. Sheila, hi.
Hi. Yes, I'm a resident of Winnebago County, and I've routinely voted absentee in the past. This spring, I requested an absentee ballot, but I'm one of the over 2,000 people that never received their ballot. I don't think I'll be voting absentee ever again.
Sheila, thanks for the call. As Sheila said, she was not alone there. I think people were swamped with requests for absentee ballots as the COVID-19 outbreak came about. Phil, do you see effort coming at the federal level to make sure the Postal Service can keep up with a possible demand for absentee ballots?
So I don't think that we've seen anything specifically from the Postal Service at the federal level. We've seen that the Democrats in the House have proposed bills to increase funding for the Postal Service with the intention that that funding is sort of one-time funding in order to meet the demands of a mail-in, of an election that is going to be run far more through the mail. The other thing to remember is that that delays or failing to get an absentee ballot could be the result of the Postal Service, but it could also be the result of, especially early on in the primary, it could have been the result of counties or election officials simply being unprepared with good reason. I mean, there was an idea that maybe the pandemic was going to lead to an increase in requests for absentee ballots, but it came very quickly for a lot of these election officials to have enough ballots printed and enough staff on hand to produce and to mail out those ballots. So, there's lots of ways that ballots may not be delivered, be it the Postal Service or from, early on in the pandemic, from election officials being unprepared for the volume simply.
Sheila, thanks for that call. We'll go to Julie now in Watertown. Julie, hello.
Hi there. I have a question about duplicate votes. So if everybody gets a mail-in ballot, help me understand how I can't mail in my ballot and then go to the polls and vote and not have it count twice.
Right. They have a pretty solid system on that, Phil. When you vote in person or when they get the mail out, they check it off on the same list, right, Phil?
Exactly right. So there's a centralized list for everyone who has requested their ballot. So there's a centralized list. It's printed off when you request it. It comes through the voter rolls. When you show up, if you were to have requested a ballot and you show up on election day and you try to vote again, it's going to say you've already requested your absentee ballot. Now, there is one sort of exception there, which is that you can, if you, for instance, request your absentee ballot and you say, you know what, I forgot to do this, I forgot to mail it in, you can show up on election day and you can certify that you have not submitted your ballot. That being said, these lists are very well integrated. They're the same list. So if you do that and you vote twice, it's not even difficult for the state to prosecute voter fraud. So the thing that keeps people from doing that is the threat of fines and jail time. It's the threat of breaking the law. And it is very, very simple in those kinds of cases. Duplicate voting is very simple for the state to track because it's a centralized single list.
Thanks a lot for that call. Julie at 800-642-1234, talking to Phil Chen from Beloit College about the U.S. Postal Service and mail-in voting. Back to your calls now. Robert is with us in Milwaukee. Robert, hello.
Hi there. I was just wondering, for those states that do require a reason to vote absentee, what's the likelihood that nationwide COVID-19 will be added to that list?
Thanks for the call, Robert. Interesting question. That's not an issue here in Wisconsin, if I have it right, Phil. Anybody can request. It's been a big issue, a court issue in other states, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a major issue as to sort of what meets that requirement. Many states have already added COVID-19 to their list of reasons that you can be absent from or you can vote absentee. It won't happen on the federal level because the federal government doesn't direct state or elections. Those rules are done at the state level. But the assumption is that most states that require this will do something to allow for people who don't feel safe at voting in person to vote in some other manner because of the pandemic. So the likelihood, I think, of somebody being told they have to vote in person despite feeling worried about the pandemic, it's going to happen, but it probably is a more minor issue than we might think, just because states are usually more willing to make those kinds of exceptions.
Thanks a lot for that call. Phil, I think in the past you've looked at the role of kind of local level bureaucrats and functionaries in making our elections work. Can you talk about the role that people play during elections in normal years / in 2020?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is something we refer to in political science as street level bureaucrats. And normally we talk about street level bureaucrats in voting when we're talking about things like voter ID and how there is a certain amount of discretion about who is asked for a photo ID at the polling places. And that's an area for bias to enter into the process. But in a year like this, we also have to think about street level bureaucrats like your local mail carrier. Your local mail carrier has some discretion. Do they, you know, one of the big things, they may not be getting paid for overtime, but they have the discretion to work overtime and not get paid. They're probably not all going to do that, but there are lots of things that there's discretion at the level of your mail carriers. And so we can't always just think that top level decisions are the ones that automatically affect the people who are interacting with us day to day. Mail carriers see us every day. They see their neighborhood. They care about their neighborhoods. They care about the service they provide. Morning Consult did a survey earlier this year looking at brands and found that across brands in the United States, not just government agencies, but across brands in general, the U.S. Postal Service was the number one trusted brand in the country. About 42% said there was significant trust in the USPS. Your everyday mail carriers don't want to abandon that trust. They know what builds that trust. And so there is some discretion at the individual level or at the street level for implementation as well. So it's while directives may come down from the top, there is more discretion that might happen at the neighborhood level.
Phil, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
Anytime.
Phil Chen is assistant professor of political science at Beloit College. He joined us today to talk about how the now paused changes at the U.S. Postal Service could impact voting in November.